Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to Center Friends Meeting. We will begin our service by turning to hymn number 336 and rising to sing. Let us pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for this day that we have been given. We thank you for this gathering of friends. And we're thankful for all who gather this day in your name. Open our hearts and minds to the message that we will be given. Guide us and lead us, comfort us, and give us peace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Well, good morning.
Good morning.
It's good to see a nice full house this morning. We've got an exciting morning where we get to dedicate two wonderful children and get the affirmation from their family to serve the Lord. What an awesome day to be here this morning. As we look through our worship bulletin this morning, there are a couple of announcements I want to make note of. The first one is being monthly meeting will be the 30th. That's next Sunday at 7 p.m. in the Fellowship Hall. Also, we have homecoming coming up. That is the following Sunday, October the 7th, and Don Farlow is our speaker. It is a carry-in meal, so bring something good to eat and something sweet to eat and something else to eat and maybe two or three other pots of food to be fine with me. But we look to have a wonderful time of fellowship and listening to Don speak and then have a wonderful time to eat together and enjoy each other's presence. Our newsletter. Our secretary is putting together our newsletter this month. And if you have something that you would like to put in there, if you have a topic or an idea and you don't quite know how to flesh out the words, you can send it to her. The email is addressed there in the bulletin, and we can kind of word that however you may need it worded, pictures, events going on in our young people's lives, 4-H, anything that we can recognize folks at Center or in our community for doing, please send that to her by September the 25th. And also keep that in mind for future months so that we can continue to keep that newsletter going. Are there any other announcements that need to be made?
Come in. Spring banquet is tomorrow night at Ashbrook Friends. And if anyone, whether you come to Quaker Men regularly or not, it doesn't matter. You're welcome to come. Meet here at 5:30. And then the other thing is, I need Quaker Men to meet down front right after service for a short meeting.
All right. Just say these Quaker Men to meet down front briefly after worship. And also, the Quaker Men banquet is tomorrow night. I hear it's going to be a good speaker and some good food. Anything else? If not, will our ushers come forward for our tithes and offerings? Let's pray. Father God, we lift up your name in thanksgiving this morning to allow us to gather as a body of the community, as a representation of what is in our world, Lord. We thank you that you're allowing us to gather with like hearts and like minds in worship of you. Lord, we do that because of the many resources that you bless us with, and you give us so many blessings here at Center Friends to continue your kingdom through this meeting. Lord, as we take up offerings in your name and in your praise, bless those so that we can continue blessing others and we can go out into this world and get to work and spread the message of the gospel and spread the love of your Son, Jesus. Thank you so much for all that you've given us. Bless the giver, bless the receiver. In Jesus' name, amen. Like I mentioned a few minutes ago, it's a wonderful time here at Center because we have the ability to recognize our young folks and the families that have those little people in our lives. And this morning I was requested to do a dedication moment for the Ryan children, and I'm so excited to be able to do that this morning. So I'd like for Ashley and Preston and Morgan and Lucas to come up. Good-looking family here this morning. Before I get started in the brief message, if you are related to these folks, would you stand? And they say it takes a village. Thank you. Well, this morning I have the awesome experience, and it is a true privilege for me to be officially introducing these two young folks to you. They're being dedicated by their parents to the love and the care and the influence of Jesus Christ. And this isn't a time just for parents to make a commitment, but it's a time for us at church to devote our love and our support our resources to the spiritual health and nurture of these young children. Luke gives us some insight in Luke 18. It says, people were bringing babies to Jesus for him to place his hands upon them. And when the disciples saw this, they rebuked them. But Jesus called the children to him and said, let the little children come to me, and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Truly I tell you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. Jesus tells us that children are open to come to him, and we're not to stand in their way. We're not to be a hindrance. That's our first order. The second is receiving the kingdom like a child, fully trusting in Jesus, or we will not be allowed to enter it. This morning we have Preston and Ashley Ryan, who wish to present Morgan Emma Ryan and Lucas Bradley Ryan in dedication to the kingdom of Jesus Christ. As parents, will you devote yourselves and your children to the loving values as taught by Christ? Will you seek God's counsel in your decision-making as a family? Will you provide them with the opportunities to learn and grow in the light of Christ while ensuring your own spiritual health? You can make this commitment by saying, we will. Now comes your work. As a church, will you support this family through dedicated prayer, willful submission when called upon, and the awesome love of Jesus Christ? Will you be a model of Christian faith and service, giving them the living examples of the Quaker testimonies of simplicity and peace, integrity and community, equality and stewardship? Will you, in all ways possible, teach the message of the gospel according to Jesus? You make this commitment by saying, we will. We will. Let us pray. Father God, I come to you again in a spirit of wonderful thanksgiving. Many warm hearts around here, Lord, as we dedicate these two children to you. We're letting them come to you. Let us not stand in their way. Give this family support and love, knowledge and wisdom to raise these children according to your values, Lord. Let them feel your love. Teach them your love so that they can love others. Continue to bless this church as we are all one family under the cross, Lord. And we thank you so much for that ability. Give us that ability and that desire and that want to help raise these children in a loving, loving environment. We thank you again. We lift these children up to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Yes, ma'am.
Shows itself in action. So that verse is saying that we don't just say we love somebody or something, we have to show it. So, how do we show love to our parents? What's some ways we can show love? Yes, Sophie? We can tell them. How can we show them? Maybe by, what have we shown them?
Hugging.
Yeah, hugging, that's a great way. Hugging, giving them a kiss, that's also listen to them when they ask us to do something the first time, or we can draw them a nice picture at school or at church and give it to them. There's lots of ways to show our mommies and daddies we love them. What about our teachers? How do we show love to our teachers? Hazel, what you think? Listening to them, that's right. Listening to them, maybe thanking them for teaching you new things, that kind of thing. How can we show love to our friends? Rose, how can we show love? Oh, that's sweet. Your best friend, that's so sweet. So we can show some of our friends by telling them that they're our best friends or by giving them hugs and being there for them. Okay, well now this is kind of harder. How can we show God's love to the cafeteria lady at school? How? How can we show them? You thank them for your food. That is so right. You thank them for your food. That's right. You're polite and you have nice manners. What about the lady at McDonald's when you go through the drive-thru? How do you show God's love to her? That's right. You thank her and you pay her. That's right. So you have good manners. Okay. Now, how do we show love to maybe somebody at school that doesn't have many friends? How do we do it, Sophie? That's right. We make friends with Hazel. How do we show sit with them at lunch. Yes, and you know, that makes me think of something, Hazel, that happened this week by somebody right here in this meeting, that they did something to show God's love. One of the Coltrane boys, we're not sure which one it was, but they left their friends at the lunch table and they went to sit with some new friends, knew somebody else that didn't have any friends, and then engaged them in conversation and had a nice lunch with them. So that was a good way to show God's love, wasn't it? Because, you know, sometimes we may want to sit with our own friends, and we may want to hang out with the people we're used to hanging out with, but we can show God's love by reaching out to people that maybe don't have friends, or maybe somebody gets bullied, or maybe somebody falls down and they need a hand up. So this week, I want to challenge you all to be like the Coltrane boys and find a way to show God's love, not just say it, but show it. Show it to our parents, our friends, the cafeteria lady, the checkout person at Walmart, and maybe somebody that doesn't have any friends, okay? So let's say a prayer. Dear Lord, thank you so much for all of these precious hearts here and these children. Please, Lord, be with them this week as they go out to the world and to be able to show your love to each and every person they come in contact with, Lord, and help for them to feel your love and to feel your arms wrapped tightly around them. For in your name we pray. Amen.
I think we could end worship right there. That was a whole message just in that act right there. I couldn't help but think when she said, how do we show love to the lady in the drive-thru? Does upsizing my order count? I'm pretty guilty of that. This morning, we're going to go through our prayer requests and praises. The first prayer request is for Branson Marley's family. He passed away yesterday morning about 4:30. I went and saw him on Tuesday. We sat up and had a good conversation at Cone Hospital. He was eating, talking about different things, and he was explaining some of the things he went through since 1922, and just having a good time talking. And then he took a turn roughly Thursday-ish. I went up and saw him, and he was on the decline then, and they moved him to the hospice house down in Randolph. And that's where he passed away shortly after arriving there. So keep the Marley family, all the extended family, that's a large family, in your prayers this morning. Lawrence Lowe is Richard Hatchell's, I'm going to say cousin-in-law, it's his cousin's husband, was diagnosed with brain cancer. So we need to lift up Lawrence Lowe this morning. It's Richard Hatchell's cousin-in-law. Are there any others?
Tommy, I have a colleague that I taught with at Southwestern Randolph for years who had cancer surgery this summer in July, and she's having a very hard time recovering and getting rid of the infection that followed the surgery. Her husband has cancer and is not expected to live but a few more days, and I'd like for you to keep Janice and Eddie Mills in our prayers this week. They're members at Back Creek Friends.
Janice and Eddie Mills?
Janice and Eddie Mills.
Mills.
Okay. I have a request too.
Sure.
My sister Paula had surgery, and it's really expensive surgery, and she really needs to be held up in prayer.
Yeah, my mom broke her foot this week. She already had a stroke, so it's just added one more thing. Prayer for that, but also prayer for the caregivers around her, because it's already making a bad situation worse. So, Elizabeth Edwards. And pray that she smiles more often.
Are there any others? Any praises this week?
My brother is taken to the hospital.
Tim Cole was taken to the hospital with some stroke-like activity, and went and visited with him, and he's home, which is definitely a praise, because I know they're still trying to find some answers to that.
I do have a praise. Mm-hmm. This is my fourth anniversary of my cancer surgery that was a complete success. I've been cancer-free for 4 years.
Any other prayer requests? Let's go to the Lord. Father, we come to you today with varying emotions, varying requests. You've heard them all. You've heard every individual need, every individual praise. We know that you hear the ones that are even unspoken. You know what's in our hearts and in our lives. You know what is affecting our souls. But we recognize that because you know that, you have all the power. We lift up Lawrence Lowe this morning. It's been diagnosed with brain cancer. Such a serious and shocking diagnosis, Lord. And we ask that you touch him and you touch his family, that they feel understanding and peace, but that he feels healing in his body, Lord. We thank you for Susie and Neil Thomas, but we want to lift up their friends, Lord. Janice and Eddie Mills is the prognosis is not good. Janice recovering from a cancer surgery and Eddie being diagnosed. You know the stages of our lives. You know the beginning and the end. Help us understand the ends. Help us see why. Help us feel you. Lord, we lift up Paula Hoger this morning as she's undergone some surgery and is trying to heal. Make sure there's no complications, Lord. Touch those that are treating her. Give her the ability to rest. Give her the patience to rest. Lord, we come to you with Elizabeth Edwards. And her caregivers. First off, lift her spirits up. Give her hope. Give her sight of the light as she is recovering physically. Lift her soul in that she can be a beacon of light in others' lives, but allow others to brighten her light. Bless the caregivers as we know that patience can run thin, attitudes can run high. Just give them the ability to slow down and love. We thank you for all the many praises, Lord. We thank you for all the ability. We thank you for the ability to lift up our prayer requests in our needs because we know you hear them in genuine prayer. We lift up our weighty friend, Branson Marley, to you, Lord. There is no doubt in anyone's mind who knows him that he loves you. Lift up the family. Give them peace and guidance as they're planning right now to say goodbye. As they're giving him the finalizing the last plans to memorialize him and give that lasting impression to the world of what Branson was to us and what his legacy will continue to be. We thank you and we love you. In Jesus' name, amen. for surely the time is now. It's interesting this morning with my message. Deborah and I do not talk about the message or the songs. Apparently, we don't need to, because it absolutely blows my mind. The last few Sundays, we have been in sync with the music and with the word, and I don't know if she's got cameras in my office when I'm writing, or I'm going to give it to the Holy Spirit. We'll give him credit. Give that power credit for being able to come together, just in thought. And there's something to be said about worship and music. Someone says they can't get message out of a song, you're not listening. This morning we're going to talk from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 14. That's page 1524 in the Pew Bibles. Gospel of Matthew, chapter 14, verses 22 through 36. And it is a popular story, but it is. We're going to look at different parts of it. And it says, immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go ahead of him on the other side, while he dismissed the crowd. After he had dismissed them, he went up on the mountainside by himself to pray. Later that night, he was there alone, and the boat was already a considerable distance from the land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid." "Lord, if it is you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came towards Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You of little faith," he said, "why did you doubt?" And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." When they had crossed over, they landed at Gennesaret. And when the men of that place recognized Jesus, they sent word to all the surrounding country. People brought all their sick to him and begged him to let the sick just touch the edge of his cloak, and all who touched it were healed. So we're kind of given an entire scene here. It's kind of a camera's perspective, if you will, where we arrive here on scene where Jesus and his disciples have just fed 5,000 people with a little bit of food. That's what had happened prior to this event. So they've been working. I mean, imagine the hype that was going on. This guy shows up with his 12 friends, and they're feeding 5,000 people in a blink of an eye. Pretty serious. The disciples were excited about having such a such an awesome feat with the Messiah. But Jesus tells them to head on. Y'all go on and pray. I'm sorry, y'all go on without him in the boat. Because I've got to pray. I got to get away. I guess I got to have a quiet time. So as time is passing, the disciples are in the boat together, separated from Jesus, who's up on the mountainside praying. And the boat is getting battered by the wind. And we know when the wind is up, the waves are up. And in the Gospel of Mark, it describes the same story. But it describes the disciples' struggle with the oars. And it's saying that they're trying to keep the boat straight, trying to keep it up and going, and they can't. The boat is in the middle of water, away from the shore, and away from Jesus. Now, at some point, Jesus decides to go on and hang out with his buddies again. So, what's he do? Takes a stroll across the water. Ain't no big deal. I'll just walk out there. No need in fighting the wind. I'll just go to them. The self-proclaimed Messiah, who just fed a mass of people with very little food, is now walking on water to a boat. The group is fighting the storm, the wind and the waves. They look out, and they see this guy walking on the water. Now, I can't wrap my mind around looking out, if I'm in a boat, and seeing someone strolling across the top of the water. My mind will not expand that far. So I imagine theirs didn't either. They think it's a ghost. I can't blame them. And they start saying, "Oh, Lord, help me, it's a ghost." He says, "Will y'all calm down? It's just me." "Oh, well, it's just Jesus. He's just casually walking across the water." "Well, if it's just Jesus, we're good." Peter, on the other hand, said, "Hang on. Hold it. Hold on just a minute. If it's you, tell me to come to you. We'll see how powerful you are." Jesus says, "I'll double down. Come on. I dare you." So, boat's in the middle of the water. Wind's blowing. Peter, in full faith, crawls down and steps onto the water. Not in it, but on it. And starts to walk towards Jesus. But as typical with humans, with us, with our fallen state, because of that daggone thing in the first book, we doubt. And Peter says, Peter gets distracted. He sees the wind. And splash. He starts to sink. In the water he goes. I don't know if he took swimming lessons at the Y, but he apparently needs help. "Help me, help me," he shouts. And immediately, Jesus snatches him up out of the water. Immediately. That's important. He didn't wait. He didn't call 911. He didn't run and get one of those little life rings. Immediately, he responded. But he also said, "You have little faith, why are you doubting me?" From there, they get back in the boat. The wind dies down. Go figure. Jesus in the boat, the wind dies down. And they go back to work with Jesus in the boat. They go on across the water. They head on over there. And they start healing the sick and teaching the lost. Now, as a pastor, my responsibilities are pretty simple to understand. I write sermons, of course. I do a lot of reading, a lot of studying. A lot of studying, and praying. But I have two other jobs, or I have two other types of jobs. I have reactive jobs, such as funerals, visiting the sick, responding to emergencies. You know, someone calling they need something at the church, I can respond to that. I'm reacting to something. The other is a proactive job. Simply put, I'm here to help lead the lost to the saving grace of Jesus. Pretty simple. Not in a million years. Sounds okay. Oh yeah, we can go to the church and we can set up stuff and we can turn on lights and that daggone proactive thing. You know, I don't know how I'm going to lead people to Jesus. I don't know how I'm going to save the lost. Saving? That scares me. But here's the kicker. It's not just my job. It's every believer's job. Isn't that wonderful? Everybody's like, yeah, it's wonderful. Yay, Jesus. That means I've got to step out. I'm not alone. Proactive versus reactive. The disciples left out in a boat ahead of Jesus into the water. Over 2.5 centuries ago, followers of Jesus Christ felt the call and leading to build a boat right here. And they called it Center Friends. They argued on the spelling, but they called it Center Friends. They felt led to get in that boat and head out into the water of uncertainty, much like the disciples did. Over time, there is no doubt in my mind, and we can read in some of our history, that those who came before us were rowing against the wind and the waves, The boat's been turned around. The boat's been pushed over. It may have been capsized a time or two, but it's been righted back up. And the Christian church all over the world faces the same struggle. We're always fighting against some type of wind and some type of rain and some type of storm that's always coming at us. So here we are today in 2018. We're not 2.5 centuries ago when the first folks decided to build Center Friends. And I have to ask you, where do we go from here? Where are we headed? We're in our boat. We've been in this boat a long time. It's a comfortable boat. We all have our seats. We feel the wind. We feel the rain. We feel that wave spray against us. But what is our course going to be? What is our purpose as this boat? Now see, some folks will preach on this message and they look at they look at Peter's doubt and they look at him saying, okay, I trust you. Oh, no, I don't. And then they talk about Jesus immediately saving him. But they don't look at the entire story sometimes. And I'm kind of taking a different spin on it because there's a lot in here. There's a lot of sermons just in this message. We aren't quite sure, much like the disciples, what we're seeing coming across the water. Maybe there is some doubt. I have four words that kind of came to mind as I was writing this sermon that kind of lead us back to where we need to be. And the first one is recommit. Recommit. As Jesus told Peter to come on, I dare you, he stepped off that boat and onto the water. I cannot imagine what the disciples saw when they saw him walking on the water. But it's important to understand that Peter committed himself to going to Jesus when called. Full of faith, at that very moment of come on, he said, okay. He was committed to taking that step of faith in the water. Are we willing to commit ourselves as a church, to recommit ourselves to taking that step onto the water of the world? If you look over the side of the boat, Jesus is there telling us to come on. We have to recommit to getting out of the boat. It is past time for us to step over the edge and let our toes touch that cold world, because we are experiencing needs around us. It's time to be uncomfortable. It's time to get wet. It's time to get our hands dirty. It's time we find direction. This is our first step. Recommitting as the boat of Christ to stepping out and walking towards Him. The next suggestion, the next point, we got to remove distractions. That's the hard part. We've got to remove distractions. As Peter was walking towards Jesus on the water, he became distracted by the wind. He lost vision. His faith doubted. And what happened? Splash. He started to sink. What are our distractions? What are the winds that are causing us to lose vision, that are causing us to be scared? Is our past distracting from our future? Does it step in front of us as we're walking on the water with Jesus? This is where we remove the distractions to recommit to the faith of Christ so that we do not lose sight. Now, are we going to lose sight? Absolutely. Every day. We may blink. We may look to the left. We may look to the right. But it's up to us to reconnect our focus. It could be that uncomfortableness. It could be that fear of change or something new, or going to speak to that person in the grocery store line that you see is struggling, or that may be counting out change to make the minimum payment on their groceries. Maybe you had that nudge to pay it forward. But that's a step. My boat sure is comfortable. Maybe it's the fear of being rejected. That's mine. The fear of being rejected because of your faith. Guess what? You already are. So just brush it off. Maybe it's that fear. We cannot lose sight. We cannot let distractions get us. We cannot let the wind blow our sight away or splash. The next thing we do, we request help. As Peter began to sink, he called out for help, "Lord, save me!" And immediately, Jesus was there. Immediately, Jesus was there. Recommitting ourselves and removing distractions that prevent us from fulfilling the mission is a difficult thing. What's blocking our vision? Well, all we got to do is ask for help. I personally don't like treading water. It absolutely exhausts me. So I don't want to go splash. So I'm going to call for help because that's what Christ said we can do. He called for help on the cross, and boy, did he get it. He is an arm's length away. I is our lifeguard. Splash, help. He will snatch you up out of water. I promise. He snatched me up plenty of times. He will immediately snatch us up. Last thing, return to work. Once Peter was pulled out of the water, what'd they do? They both got back in the boat, and the wind stopped. The disciples worshiped Jesus, calling him the Son of God. Oh, yes, absolutely. I just saw this guy walk across the water, and he caused Peter to walk across the water, and he snatched him up, and we all got in the boat. Of course he's Jesus. They continued their journey to Gennesaret and got back to the work of the ministry. Jesus met with the townspeople there. He began to heal the sick, allowing people to touch his robe, spreading the message. The disciples were teaching. Once we recommit ourselves as a church, as the boat, to stepping off of the boat, walking to Jesus, removing our distractions that cause us to lose sight of the mission for Christ, ask for help. Lord, help me. Lord, save me. Lord, help this church. Help me be your disciple. Now it's time to return to work. His mission is clear. He's guiding the ship. He's guiding the church, and he's giving it direction. We need that direction. Let's put Christ in the boat with us so we know where to go for the next day, the next week, the next year, or the next 2.5 centuries. Aren't you tired of just sitting in the boat? Just being a Christian is not about being the status quo. It's not about doing what everybody else wants you to do. It isn't about comfort. I met with a group of folks the other night who was demonstrating that first step off of the boat. And one person summed it up when they asked, "Are we doing this to promote Christ and reach others, or are we doing this for ourselves?" That's it. That is the guiding principle. It's time. I'm sorry this isn't a feel-good message, and it's not going to leave you hyped up and warm and fuzzy, but this is a call to action. In the coming days, we will be together forming a vision and a mission for this boat. This will not happen overnight, but this can be our first step onto the water. We may get wet, our heads may go under, but no matter what happens, Jesus will pull us up. My prayer is that we listen to what he wants, not what Tommy wants, or what Quaker Men want, or what longtime members want, or what a Sunday school class wants, or what the world wants. My prayer is that we do not do what we've always done because that's what we've always done and that's what we do. Let's follow the direction Christ gives us. That's how this boat got here. Seek him, and as he calls us, climb off the boat, walk on the water hand in hand into the world that desperately needs the grace and the love and the knowledge of Jesus Christ that drives all doubt away. It's time. Before we close in our hymn, think about the future. Think about the next 250 plus years and what we want to leave behind. Let's stand and sing hymn 547, The Church is One Foundation, verses 1 and 4, 547. Thank you.
for the ability to gather in your name and celebrate your love. Continue to guide our boat, Lord. Help us walk on the water. Help us take that leap of faith. Help us go to the other side with you leading us and guiding us for the next 2.5 centuries. In Jesus' name, amen.